Welcome back, new you maniacs, to the Spinner Rack here at season five, final season of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We are your hosts,
Steven with Psi-Force 29 and
Andy, with yet another backup story. Can you tell we're not as excited about them as we used to be? It's a fine idea for sure, but when I'm like,
execution.
where's Nightmask? I'm kind of missing those, and I know those weren't that good, but anyway, the new universe launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress, which we still have. New universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we're moving closer to and hoping we all survive to see 1989 in the comics. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has started capturing and drafting them into the army and the CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be heading towards war.
War.
War. With our podcast, of course, follow along each week. We'll go through each remaining comic, the order they came out, or just check out individual comics if you're just going to be that guy. Kickersinc.com, good stuff there. You can also find us on X at Kickers Inc. And there's a good Facebook fan page that we stopped mentioning, but it's still out there.
Once we have covered every issue and will no longer be spoiled by things, I will be a constant presence on the Facebook fan page.
Right.
Probably.
Complaining.
Moi? This week we get back to Psi-Force. Wayne, Tyrone, Thomas, Lindsay, and Kathy are paranormals who have endured constant harassment from various political and corporate organizations intent on using their powers for corporate gain. As the Marvel Age solicit for this issue has it, this week's Psi-Force 29, Psi-Force is trapped in Siberia. Their only hope of rescue is the malevolent Medusa Web and their new ally, Justice. Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Rodney Ramos, and inked by Chris Ivey. 32 pages. Still Mando,
Mando.
and direct sales only, $1.50.
Medusa Web malevolent, or is it more like a chaotic neutral or something? I don't know.
That's a good one.
But yeah, we do have a backup story starring Tyrone and the draft people. So a rare draft buddies appearance.
I like to Tyrone and the Draftees. It makes it sound like a 60s doo-wop band. But that's just me. And you all don't have access to my notes, so
That's true.
you're missing out.
Or your
We will.
extensive knowledge of doo-wop.
Okay. I'm not an expert on doo-wop, but I'm just a fan sometimes.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I wop. A terrible joke, but I made you laugh.
Oh, it hurts to laugh still. No. Jumping on in to Psi-Force number 29, which 29s. Wow. It's cover dated March 1989, and we believe hit the local comic shops November 15th, 1988. The cover is another part of a, you said four part, continuous image,
Think
which
it's
were
four. I try to avoid peeking ahead. We're in the third section of it.
okay.
So far, they've
So,
all had somebody's head in the same foreground position.
yeah, it's interesting. You got kind of a portrait in the foreground and some action going on in the background. This one has well,
Potifar?
Lynn Potiphar is in front with a smoking gun, which And then we've got Lindsay, and we'll call him Character X. In the background, Lindsay looks upset and the character looks dead. And the box says Siberian Project Part 3, The Hero Killing.
Are you sure that's not Johnny Doe?
They could also be John Doe holding. We're pretty sure we know who the possibly deceased hero is, but yeah, Johnny Doe and Lindsay have the same haircut, and well,
Yeah, why would you
good
put the
luck.
dead character on the cover? But I don't
I don't know.
know. I guess
There's
it's not like a it's not like giving away who died from Psi-Force, right? But
Yeah, it's a questionable, like I always feel like when the cover is a spoiler, you know, for the mystery of the book, like don't you guys talk? Don't you know? Like
well, I
anyway.
looked at it and I was just thinking, like, oh, well, that guy's probably not really gonna die. Maybe just get shot or like pretend to die, or you know, the classic comic cover fake out. But no, he's dead. Or she, he or
Yeah.
she is dead.
That's right. Here we go. I mean, it's obvious to anyone who looks at the comic who's on the cover. But anyway, jumping on inside, we've got credits are as promised. Fabian Nicieza is writing. Rodney Ramos is penciling and expecting to go the distance on the title, apparently.
Right.
And Chris Ivey is inking. Chris Inker is Ivying, as I like to say. And we've got a splash page is an overhead shot of, I believe, Wayne in a hospital bed,
Really doesn't look
surrounded.
like Wayne. It looks like Thomas, but it's, yeah, it doesn't even have his scar right, but yeah.
Yeah, and I assume he's got his the haircut like the buzz cut everyone else did, but.
Yeah, everybody's got lice in Siberia or something.
He's surrounded by nurses who are talking in Russian, presumably, and they're sort of just monitoring him and saying that he is still comatose. We do have a narration box that with the date October 5th, 1988. We are almost there. Shortly, we will reach the Siberian Project for Paranormal Research. Soon, they will learn the meaning of justice. Did not put it in the typeface, but okay.
Yeah. Not quite
The
his
interest.
book. It feels like his book, but it's not quite.
It is, yeah. So, as promised again, also, we have a justice crossover, which we just had, I think last week was the justice side of this.
Or at least him
Now,
talking about going.
yeah, him getting Medusa web contact and okay, I'll come with you and blah blah blah. Justice was completely zonked out from his daughter's near death experience, I guess, and wanted to go wreak havoc on Rodstvow and possibly Psyhawk. So we've got a lot of narration boxes in this seem to be from Justice's point of view, but it's just me, but they don't they're not color consistent.
No.
Like the first page they're yellow and the second page they're blue, but it's obviously still him thinking here. This makes it a little, you know, they've done it before with kind of mixing colors and or coding them to characters so you can follow what they're saying better. But this one jumps around a bit. So if there's someone else narrating, we'll see. We turn to a splash page, upper half of the pages 2 and 3 with the title, The Siberian Project, The Hero Killing. So it is the same as as on the cover, which isn't always the case. And a picture of two helicopters, sort of military transport types, And they seem to be going through some snowy mountains.
Possibly Siberia.
Possibly. I don't know how mountainous Siberia is, to be honest. Let's,
Mountainous
I think,
now.
yeah, it's probably not not too far off. And we go inside. There's a conversation between Justice and Babel going on inside the helicopters. Justice, what's the meaning of this? What are you talking about, Babel? I heard you overheard you bickering with my operatives. Do you have a problem with us? You might say that. Half of them read like baby killers. Half of them very well may be. Huh? Damn it. So
That's a very
Justice
like
is,
Vietnam era thing, right?
yeah, baby killers? I don't know.
Now, Potiphar, he's kind of a creep.
He is, but I mean, we'll see like how the Medusa web operates a bit here as we go through this issue. Babel is sitting in kind of a command chair, and he's got a bunch of screens with which you can see the other characters on the helicopter, and we got at least Skybreaker imprint, who I think is albino again, maybe,
We're just shiny.
and Troublemaker, and maybe even Backfire. I'm not really sure I ever thought of Backfire as a person you want to take on a paramilitary mission, but okay. So yeah, Justice is remarking on how that he's surrounded by irresponsible paranormals, and Babel just says, "Well, you can jump out now, but we can't spare any parachutes." The Medusa web characters are kind of talk amongst themselves. Skybreaker is not impressed. Bloomin' dork is what he is. Troublemaker is, even though they looked like they were getting into a fight in Terrence Updike's office last issue of Justice. Man's got morals and standards, Skybreaker. Don't knock him till you've tried him. Shadow to it's what you are.
This is Troublemaker with a mustache. The one that was causing the problems was Troublemaker without the mustache.
Wait a second. Is this Tullius again? Oh my
Working his
gosh.
voodoo magic.
We'll touch down soon. I've got the doll ready to go, and he's got like a pin poised at its neck. Okay. Backfire is likewise complaining about government agents, and Babel's thinking to himself as he usually. There's always like a bunch of extra like thought balloons around Babel. It's like Tenzin is more of a disruption than an asset. I wonder if I should give Potiphar a standing termination order should the need arise. Anyway, they
I don't think they read the previous comic. Like
yeah.
the whole thing is what you were trying to get him because you couldn't do anything like this without him.
Yeah, Justice is a heavy hitter by their standards,
Right.
and
And
if
he's
you
like,
wanted.
oh, you're arguing with our people. So like all of a sudden we don't need your massive powers.
And I don't know, Justice was like completely zonked out in Justice, and just nothing but like zippy one-liners and like threatening people constantly, and here he's quite loquacious by comparison. I don't know. Anyway, the helicopter pilot, I believe, is Dustoff, says they're getting close. So we have an external shot of the fortress that is the Siberian Project, and more narration boxes. They joke amongst themselves, dark, cynical humor, which befits both their personalities and their line of work. Some of them are noble and well-intentioned. Others are hired assassins. I'm whining too much. I need to release my anger. I feel sorry for whoever gets in our way. We zip into the fortress itself in the next page, where there's kind of a danger room workout with the members of Red Sun, Silatochka, Kujichesku, and Shibutnaya are all throwing things at each other and exploding stuff. Too slow! Blow the projectile up! Watch your back, you fool. People upstairs are not impressed.
Did the big head guy pick up a random ponytail at some point?
Maybe.
I feel like he didn't have that last time. It looks like he's dyeing his hair too, so maybe he's like, you know, he's gotten in with Lindsay and it's like trying to be a little bit more younger and cooler to relate
the,
to.
The cool American girl, she is telling me I need more Grecian formula. Yeah.
Wait, that line is later.
That's later. Yeah, the he's got that like bald, but it like what hair is left is in a ponytail look. Wow. They really are like a few years behind us in terms of style. But like I say, the sort of overseers, who is it?
They're sort of nameless Zemansky, in this, I thought, but
that's somewhere. Zemansky and Shepalev, these like scientist kind of guys. Well, like, see, one's a scientist, one's like the commander or something. Serge Vladimirov has not seen in this issue since his confrontation with Kathy last issue. Anyway, Comrade Shepalev comes in and reads him the Riot Act. Well, after a year's worth of intensive training, it is our Red Sun operatives that are counterproductive. Especially you, Vishnevsky. Ouch. Come on, it's like 20 letters. Vishnevsky, who is Slototchka, Leonid, as I'll call him, hopefully. With your pair abilities, you should be serving the state proudly, not with a whimpering, self-possessive, repressive attitude you have affected. He kind of gives him the cold stare.
It's a really wordy, like, dress down.
Yeah, Russian's a language with like really long words and a lot of grammatical ends to them. So you know, you don't want to use a bunch of words that'll take you all day to talk. I don't know. It's just me. Anyway, he tells him to go hit the showers. It stinks in here. Nadezhda, meet me in the debriefing room afterward, and we will evaluate yet another pathetic performance. Lindsay depicts this opportune moment to pop up.
Did sure that's not Johnny? No, okay. That's Lindsay.
Let's just say she does not fill out that jumpsuit too much, so that doesn't help things too much. But anyway. Did I come at a bad time, Leonid? Anytime here is a bad time, Lindsay. We should talk about what we planned. Is dangerous. If we can get the others to help, it won't be. You have to trust me. We've done this sort of thing before, but we do it as a team. Even if we escape, as you say, what hope does my family really have? They will never stop trying to hunt me down. You and your family will be safe, Leonid. I promise.
She's totally lying to him, right?
I promise. I think she's just very optimistic. I'm not sure.
She didn't really do anything in any of the like break-ins, breakouts of such.
She has no useful combat skills or powers, and I don't know. We'll see later, like who is sort of pulling the strings behind the scenes. I don't know if she's part of that in the loop with that.
Oh, right, good question.
I don't remember. Yeah. So we switch over to Thomas walking along with. Now I'm sure this is Johnny, because he says, this place is hurting for entertainment, isn't it, Johnny, old boy? Johnny is a boy, not Lindsay, who's
same,
a girl.
Same hair, same color shirt. Same face, but...
Lindsay, if you put on some blue pants, could I call you Johnny and we could like walk around together and you could pretend to be my friend? Why? I don't know. Thomas is not getting much back from Johnny, who is, as they say, autistic. And so he sort of keeps up both ends of the conversation. But as they walk along, Johnny doubles over in pain. And Thomas is worried. What's wrong? What is it? And some sort of alarm is going off. He looks over at a doorway where the door seems to be melting, and there's a red alarm, red alert. So he looks inside, and it's a real scene of chaos in there. There's some, I don't know, maybe they're scientists who are yelling things and using some fire extinguishers on the corners of the room. Quickly, before it hits the fusion couplings, they say in Russian. Don't move, Piotr. They misspelled that word, the
Yeah,
person's
right.
name.
Pointer.
Terrible. Someone is getting a blanket thrown on them to put out the fire.
Ah, the good old lab safety fire blanket, though. I almost never get to see that used.
Yeah, this is you could reenact this for the chemistry, first day of class when you go over safety procedures. Thomas tries to practice his Russian. What is happen? How's that go? What goes on? Probably like shtodila, something like that. And one of the guys turns back to him. What do you think is going on? Что вы думаете, дела? Something like that. Thomas is completely confused because, like I say, you can even have the same words, but all the grammatical endings will like shift around, and suddenly you're just like lost again. So Thomas is like, I didn't get a word of that. And but he like picks up some pieces of like a human figure that are like lying around. He says, fiberglass and body molds all over the place. I don't like the looks of this. He goes back outside and finds Johnny. And it's like, was it the fire? Did you sense the heat? Or was it something else? Did you feel something more powerful around here?
This one took me a while to figure out, like this, I think the second read, because I mean Johnny has fire powers, so I thought like maybe he was just having a freak out and like he caused the fire in the lab randomly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I saw it at first. Like he just accidentally creates fire
Yeah.
and he's in a upset or
And
something, but
even with the stuff we find later, like I didn't quite put it together that like this is probably like the Rostov lab. With like the special polymer or whatever they use to contain his energy.
yeah, the figures. I mean, it was in the Rostov official handbook page that like he's encased in like a special made polymer alloy, something, something. And so that sort of, yeah, that definitely makes sense of what we're seeing in this weird lab room. Although what had just happened in there is still kind of questionable since I don't know where he is and what he's doing. Anyway. We now switch over to the conference room. Very exciting.
Yes.
Where she wasn't didn't get a name this time, but she did before. Anya Zoloff, the like bitter blonde woman who's always smoking.
Right.
You've got Nadezhda, who's the leader of Red Sun, Kujichesku. Nadezhda means like hope or dream, I think. Zemansky and Shepilov are all there, and they're all being what giving updates or something. Anya is saying that she's worried about Tucker, and Shepilov is saying that he hasn't really shown signs of awakening from his coma, but his telepathic probes have decreased, and Zemansky is still calling them on the carpet. I merely imply the obvious. The Americans, should they decide to leave, and should they get together, can escape the project anytime they want, and there is nothing we would be able to do to stop them. Anya's like, oh, we'll just wait to get our butts handed to us by a bunch of snot-nosed American brats, right? I think not, Szymanski. I think we have an ace in the hole anytime we're crazy enough to deal the hand. God have mercy. We still have Rostov. Dun, dun, dun. We still have time enough for murder. They, you know, they'll like continue someone's like sentence onto the next page, but it's a little difficult to see sometimes. We have Lindsay and Leonid walking down the hallway, and Lindsay's saying that we're running out of time. We have to start rounding up the others. So they're getting to Kathy's room. There's about a half dozen guards standing outside. And Leonid's saying that she has been confined to quarters since the incident with Vladimirov. One of the guards gives her the brush off. I am sorry, specific orders. I'll bet we'll see how long that lasts, says Lindsay
Where is it,
or
Johnny?
Johnny.
I'm just gonna keep playing this game, so.
Tempting. It's tempting to like redraw this entire issue with Johnny in the place of Lindsay. Like the anyway.
All you'd need to do is call her in some pants, but yeah.
I didn't say it would take very long. Okay. So yeah, it's been quieter for a few minutes. We'll see how long that lasts. Thanks, Justice. Outside the helicopter is helicopters make it to the Siberian Project Fortress, and they start attacking immediately. Some, I'm gonna say, like a machine gun on the takes out their radar,
It looks like it just
and
fires at itself. Like bottom
right.
of 10, like the little like missile launchers things, like shooting out stuff, and then you see it like swooping
Oh
with the
yeah. Okay.
shots behind it or something.
I don't know. Maybe it's chaff or chafe, that stuff that Snake was always throwing in the air when
Oh
you
yeah,
just confuse the
scattershot, right?
radar.
So yeah, that's
There you
probably is what that is.
Metal Gear, number one for me.
You
Okay.
gotta disable those security cameras, yeah.
Radar tower. Yeah. So they sent next they send out Skybreaker, who has some sort of thermite bola.
Yeah.
Yep. He
Science alert, that's not how thermite works. It
oh no.
wouldn't make an explosion, it would just be like molten metal melting through everything.
Well, that would be cool too.
I guess, yeah.
It's a big toom poom on whatever he threw just
Kaboom.
threw that out. So the more of the paranormals jump down or using their various powers. I think Troublemaker just sort of jumps and flips around, but Justice is walking on his shields with imprint. And we hear Babel's narrate or orders, lead them in, Troublemaker. Justice, you are to protect imprint's line of vision at all costs. I have to maintain contact. Oh, okay, so imprint's there, so to link them to Babel.
That doesn't seem that important. I
Yeah.
mean, important, but. And he
Okay.
doesn't really help them afterwards, though, right? Like, he's not like providing useful intel per se.
Well, the part of Babel's thing was being able to understand and communicate between people who didn't speak the same language, but everyone I see on this mission speaks English. So,
Right.
okay. Anyway, we've got more narration from Justice. He is saying that Skybreaker is ruthless, but his efficiency can't be faulted. I think he just killed a couple of guards there. Indeed, after working with some of the imbeciles at NSC, this is almost a pleasure. Troublemaker jumps in to the building's door. Justice checks his and oh, I missed something before.
A
He
little
says,
never. This is
yeah, no,
totally easy
that's
to miss because I didn't put it in a word balloon.
Skybreaker, as he's going inside, says, they're dead, trust me, as Justice is like checking their pulse. And at the bottom of the panel, never. They get inside and say, this could be a setup. And they are faced with a bunch of guards firing at them. So there's a wall of
Wall of
wall
machine
of
gun
gunfire coming
fire,
at them. So they are kind of stuck somewhere and pinned down. Back at Leonid and Lindsay?
Johnny?
Leonid Shto, now Leonid, and he sort of picks her up and like blows up every guard's gun all in one move. Oh, and he maybe blows up open the door. He says, "Are they down? They're out." And suddenly, Leonid and Lindsay
Johnny?
are flipped upside down, and we see a rather off-model Kathy Lang emerge from the room. "What's going on, Falman?" "Kathy, answer my question, Falman. What are you doing?" "We came to get you out, to help us get Wayne out." "Fine. Why's Butthead with you?" "Ouch.
Also
He's gonna help."
notable that she's like glowing and flying, like hovering in the air. And her hair's up like Goku or something. So.
I was trying to think what that reminded me of. Probably not Goku, then.
I mean, the look isn't Goku, but the
Maybe.
energy, yellow, and the hair being pointing up gives the Dragon Ball vibe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the color is a little more mood than realistic, but we start seeing panels with no backgrounds here again.
The best.
Lindsay, or possibly Johnny, say he's going to help get us out, and then we'll help him get together with his family. Kathy's not too impressed with that, but she does admit that he was not as much of a jerk as the rest of them. "If you do anything funny, Butthead, I'll wring your neck like a wet rag. Where's Rain?" "He's still in a coma, I think." "We go this way quickly." They head out. We're back to Justice and the Medusa web pinned down, and he is finishing up some explanation to them. And the next page, they put this into execution. Basically, Skybreaker bowls into the room with Justice's shields blocking the bullets on him. So he sort of busts through their line and tackles them, I guess. There's, like I say, at least a half dozen, maybe more people in
Yeah.
there.
I mean, these guys are basically like Cobra soldiers at this point, right? Like they're just totally useless. They can't hit anything. They get punched out and taken out pretty easy.
Yeah, it's well, we have another panel with Troublemaker going through another half dozen guards with about as much success. Bum, bum, bum. And Justice, I'm not sure he is taking out someone with a shield, but maybe someone with the sword. You know, military operations are different than police operations, I guess.
Yeah, right. Just straight up killing people.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Maybe he's just
Looks like
zapping his gun out of his hand. I don't know.
possible. Yeah. It does seem to be heading towards the floor. I mean, Justice, like, really looked like he was trained to pick a fight with everyone in his last issue of his own book. But now he's, like, faced with, yeah, faceless goons that he can kill at his discretion, and he's like, "I don't know, that would might be immoral. I don't."
Well, they're not paranormals abusing their powers, right?
That's true. Probably their auras would not be any worse than the Medusa webs. So,
Yeah, no.
Troublemaker is got a headset on, and he is talking to Babel through imprint, via imprint, I guess. And Babel is giving them directions towards the dormitory wing. Go down past five corridors, make a left. "Geez, you make it sound so easy. It will be once the project's forces are otherwise engaged." We switch outside to where the two helicopters are still attacking, but one of them, the sort of large troop transport one, is landing. And the cargo door opens up, and a bunch of let's assume mercenaries run out, led by Potiphar, everyone's favorite Potiphar. You can say, "Are you sure that isn't Steelhawk?" every time Potiphar shows up, if you want. But
Wow, that would have been cool.
Right.
Lincoln Griffin, what?
What? I never expected to see you here.
He's just got here. He's been walking the whole time.
Slow, slow. They say it sounds like a war zone up there. Well, the transport helicopter just landed and Potifar is leading our assault force.
By running directly at the people with guns while you have your guns.
Pew, pew,
Strategy.
put boom, boom. Okay.
Don't hide behind anything.
It's his strategery is impeccable.
That's
He
pretty much
does have
standard,
the
like, comic book, though. I mean, like, that's like Marvel.
superpower of being invincible, right? He's bulletproof. That's like his paranormal ability.
Think he's
Oh
just kind
wait,
of angry, is his paranormal.
he doesn't actually have any paranormal
It's just a jerk.
ability. Inside there's alarms going and people running everywhere, but Thomas and Johnny
Wayne
are
and
running.
Lindsay? What?
What? Are running down the hallway. There's a possibly a thought balloon saying, "Just take full advantage of the inevitable confusion." Oh, that was from Babel and Troublemaker, the page before. As Thomas is saying to himself, to Johnny, "You hear him in your head like I do, Johnny?" And we get a nut. So here's the thought balloon. A little further, board. Yeah, that's it. So they get to this door, and Thomas tries to get Johnny to burn the door down, which doesn't go super well. Burn, fire, whoosh, brimstone, slag. Come on, buddy. What do you say? Hey.
He just kind of looks at it and scratches his arm.
Thomas takes out one of the lab coat guys running by, gets his key card, and opens the door. And it's probably the room from the splash page, nurses surrounding Wayne in bed.
That'd be the level 2 key card.
Ah, to go all the
Siberia
way
is pretty
back.
close to Alaska, right? Shadow Moses?
Don't make me have to go back all the way into the hot room just to get the PAL card. Never mind. The level
I thought they
two
had the
key card
nuclear
is good.
codes. And...
Yeah, the one of the nurses tries to stop him, but and there's another thought balloon. Better watch out for her, boy. She's like a truck with bad breath. Thomas says the most curious line, "Hey, Tucker, I can't hit a woman her age too much." With
Can't
a,
hit a woman her age.
I'm not sure what you're
What's
trying to tell us here,
the
Thomas.
right age?
He's got the biggest smile, I think, of anyone this whole issue. So, not sure what's going on there, but this has gotten a little out of hand, says someone, as the wall explodes in front of Kathy, Lindsay, and Leonid. Someone busts through. It's Potiphar and some ninjas.
Snake eyes.
He yells something. Take them with us. Leonid doesn't recognize them. Who is he? Kathy's a killer. Let me at him. Leonid pushes the girls down the hall the other direction. No, this way. While Kathy says, he's part of the web. What are they doing here? From behind, facing the other way, Leonid is facing away from Potiphar, who is behind him, and shoots and yells, "Stop Russian!" while he's shooting.
Right. Kill the Indian and then stop
Kill the
Russian.
Indian. So Leonid falls. Leonid, bad Russian, dead Russian, says Potiphar, the quippy one-liners we've known to come and love from this character.
I didn't even know he was Russian. He was wearing like the same tracksuit suit Kathy had on, and he was speaking English. Accent, I guess.
That's true. You killed him, you pig. Lindsay brings a gun up on Potiphar, who doesn't even, shrug. He was helping us. Oops. Oh, Leonette, I'm sorry. I promised you'd see your family. I promised. Potiphar just takes this moment to ogle Kathy. Chest looks better since last I see you.
I'm assuming he meant because he shot her through the chest.
Or she may have filled out a lot since then. I don't
Yeah,
know.
she's like 19, dude.
Oh, sorry.
She's not even punching age yet.
She remembers him pretty well. Don't it though, Scuzzbucket. What are you idiots doing here? Rescue? Great. Some choice here, says Kathy as she sits down the hall, the silhouettes of Red Sun coming at her. Clowns left and right. Falman, we're out of here. Nadezhda says they've killed Leonid, and Shivotnaya is with her. Falman says, "What about Leonid?" And Kathy pretty smartly says, "Let them think he died a hero. Better is for his family that way, right?" So as Lindsay seems to be arguing, Kathy just envelops her in a telekinetic field and lifts her out of the room. So she takes off with the mercenaries with Potiphar. We hit back to Justice's narration, I think. We encountered the leech, Boyd, carrying an unconscious Tucker in a corridor that is too quiet for my comfort. Says, someone says, according to our boss, it was all Tucker's idea. Justice is thinking that their auras all read alike to me, even the little boys. They all read so gray. Troublemaker and Thomas are talking. Thomas asks about the others, and Troublemaker tells him that Jessup is a lost cause. We're just working on the girls. Thomas thinks maybe he means that Jessup's dead.
No worse. He's in the backup story.
He curiously does not like complete a sentence to clarify that, but Thomas is, yes, carrying Wayne, and he says, "What are we getting ourselves into this time, Wayne?" Wayne's asleep, apparently. And he looks back. "You trust me, right, Johnny? All right, let's go." We then segue to a mystery location. Justice sort of continues narrating. Something other than their contradictory auras was troubling me. Something nearby is casting a pall over my senses. And this sort of containment unit vessel is opening up, and there's like a fiery skeleton in there, which I assume to be Rodstvow in some form or another.
Yeah, it's actually pretty creepy looking.
It is. Happy Halloween. Justice is thinking it's something deadly, something I feel safer running away from. And at that point, I asked myself, is this really Justice narrating this?
Like
What?
Justice
Something
Junior.
I'm supposed to give God's judgment to. You know, I, yeah.
Mean, he hasn't really done anything.
It's been pretty, I mean, Night Mask could have done most of what you did here, Justice. But anyway, no matter how far I have to run or what I have to run into. Outside, back on the landing field, there's the Medusa Web helicopters, and I think they're blowing up the. There's some Russian helicopters
Like
there.
13 Russian Hind helicopters that they didn't bother to use to defend themselves.
Well, you know, you can't get them off the ground without, you know, I guess, I don't know. So there's a lot of chatter on Comlink, and we have the two girls. They two teams are meeting up. Wayne, is he all right? Made it out in one piece, Boyd. They told me you were dead. Is the brat ours or theirs? I believe that's Kathy. Kathy says, "Where's Jessup?" And Troublemaker is still being cagey. Jeez, you guys don't know too much, do you? His bod was in Frisco for months, so that's where he woke up. Army got him now. Oh, okay. Thanks for clarifying that, buddy. Lindsay is saying, "Wayne, wake up. Can you hear me?" And yes, Linz, I'm okay. We're all alive. Then he looks over at Justice, but we may not be for long. Does he suspect? Of course he must. His mind is one of the most powerful on the planet. Not in a smart way, just in, you know.
Yeah, right.
And one of the most dangerous.
Not like he can do advanced calculus.
I must not forget that. Yeah, okay, we're like patting ourselves on the back. Troublemaker is points that there's people coming. It looks like Red Sun is on the way with more guards. So they all hustle themselves into the troop transport helicopter and take off. Shibotnoya and Nadezhda are sitting on the tarmac. No! So then we got a couple of things going on. We've got Justice narrating, "We have accomplished our mission. And now, more than ever, I fear over my course of action. Now, my true mission begins." While on the tarmac, the Shepelev maybe is saying, "We can't let them get away. Scramble what remains of our defense forces." And he's telling Nadezhda, "I want you to hunt them down. I want them all killed." And we come back with another Justice box saying, "Now they must all be killed. To be continued in Justice number 29. I don't know why Justice would say that, but okay.
Justice is going to kill Psyforce and Medusa with?
I guess.
And he forgot that he was trying to kill Rostval. That was God's mission for him to save his daughter, but not anymore? Maybe?
He was taken there under the pretense to take to confront Rodstrow, and told that Psyforce was alive, but that Psyhawk was dead.
Yeah.
So he didn't
really
really
do
say
anything. Like... I like the end too, where it's like, we must stop them, and like standing right next to a woman who can grab things inside Force Cube and trap them. It's like,
If only something could grab that helicopter. Some sort of force cube, I would.
Maybe even a green one, but I guess we can't do that.
If only Indigo from DP7 was here, but I don't know. What do we think?
I mean, I was really worried that this was going to be just bad, kind of based on the previous issue where I think the art kind of like killed the action quite a bit. And then, I mean, the Justice follow-up kind of just made me worry about that more, but I think it kind of held up okay. Like, the art's not great, but at least like the paneling and just like the overall like composition still kind of works, right?
I'd say it's much more like followable,
yes,
and that consistent looks of characters, and yeah, there's more backgrounds, I think. So
yeah, it's not all like pink background, purple background, yellow background.
So yeah. It's not like great, but it is serviceable, something like
it's
that.
It's serviceable, yeah, which I guess is like low expectations. It kind of works, sadly. I mean, a lot of it seems a little flubbed, right? The Justice crossover seems kind of flubbed because we were expecting like him to play like a major role in the action, or maybe like start. Yeah, I mean, some conflict with either him and the good guys or him and Rodsvow, but he just kind of narrates and hangs out. Maybe that's his new
He
normal.
Took on like an entire town's police force, maybe a whole major city's police force.
Right. Well, hi.
They always say he's one of the most powerful paranormals on the planet. So, yeah, he should be sort of shrugging off a lot of this. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess like maybe if it were better composed, like, I mean, you could do almost the same book, but he's just kind of like all this action's going on around with him. He's just kind of like strolling through there casually, like holding up the shields, you know, zapping the door open here and there, that kind of thing. Like just kind of not stressed about the whole situation.
Yeah, that would also be good.
Yeah, so I feel like they kind of failed on the Justice angle, but then also like the Wayne thing, because they'd made such a big deal. Like every opening of these Psyforce issues has been like Wayne broadcasting and like talking to people and like, you know, being the behind the scenes guy. But then like like there was never like a payoff for that. Like they just kind of like hinted at it and like maybe two word balloons. And if they'd done a little more with that, like instead of having Justice boringly narrate things, have Wayne do it, like talking to each character in each scene kind of
Right,
thing.
right, right.
Like at least that would feel like that part concluded, because he was supposed to be the mastermind and he got the Medusa web and all this stuff, but it doesn't really feel like it.
Yeah, if I don't know, if Wayne's like really on top of things, then why you had like two groups run into each other and them shooting each other for sort of out of hand doesn't really make much sense either. I think the Wayne payoff was pretty muted there. I don't know if there's a next step to that. I can't imagine what it would be.
I mean, the whole thing was that he was asleep, but like pulling everyone together to do the rescue, and then they just did the rescue, so
Right.
yeah.
Let's see. Lindsay continues to be a curiosity.
Right.
To just manage to get someone else killed pointlessly, I
Yeah.
guess. That's a, kind of what I expect from her character, to be honest. I don't.
It's another one of those things where it's like a big deal on the cover, but then we get like, two or three tiny panels of his death,
It's a little underplayed the way it's
Yeah.
portrayed in the
I think
book,
he kind
yeah.
of shot the ponytail off of him too, but that's another thing. I don't
Cover
know.
is
Are we supposed to
very interesting.
like Potiphar, do you think? Like, are we supposed to think he's cool and like tough and kind of interesting? Because like I for whatever reason, he's the Medusa web character I just don't like at all.
It's hard
Like
for me to
the
say.
character per se,
Yeah, he had, a backup story for himself, which made me think they were kind of trying to put him over the over, like he's your. I don't know. All the jokes I made about Pitbull being the whatever Sabretooth. I'm not sure, quite sure what Potiphar should be. Is that the Punisher again? I don't
It's
know.
more like a bullseye Deadshot kind of,
Yeah, there you go.
but
He's I don't know. He doesn't come off. I mean, his greatest. Successes are shooting a teenage girl and shooting a Russian guy in the back. He definitely doesn't have the flair of a Steel Hawk. I don't know. The other characters don't get too much screen time. Backfire never even pops up with his, he was a funny guy in most of the previous appearances.
Maybe I do like the idea that he just kind of stayed in the helicopter. Okay, so like if you page back to four and you can see the guys on the screen, and like there's someone like next to Backfire and next to Potiphar with curly hair, I'm like, who is that?
That's a good question. Yeah, I didn't see that person at all.
Yeah, and they got like an outfit, like they're part of the squad or something, but
Maybe we should go back to that ooh, issue 26 where like the behind Babel's office, you've got like a wall of pictures of Medusa Web agents. I don't remember seeing that character previously, so it could
I
be
don't think there was
something
like
that
a
they just
contest
didn't.
winner, get yourself drawn into Psi-Force or something, right?
Now that I think about it, you could go back to the Shrapnel backup story and see if it matches Rodney Ramos or Chris Ivey.
Could be, yeah. Ramos is on the mission.
Yeah, the Shabbat doesn't really say anything. Nadia, it's we never get like a last name for the Red Sun team leader. A little odd. Some of the stuff with Johnny, he's remains incommunicative, but that's kind of nice, like Thomas's connection or attempt to make a connection with him. That's a nice sort of angle. Brings him out a bit. The don't know. I don't know. It's a definitely like it feels like the, back third of an action movie, things are
Right.
just relentlessly going off in every direction. So I
Yeah.
like that. I don't
The
know.
plot kind of falls apart and you're just blowing stuff up now.
Yeah.
Or I guess not falls to the wayside at least.
So we're the yeah the crossover hasn't been particularly well done in terms of consistency, and then sort of a back and forth. You can imagine being if you wanted to sort of like part of the story that like really focuses on justice. I can't quite even imagine, but like him 1-to-1 with Rod Stowe or something,
Right.
like in his issue, and then back to this where like the Psi-Force take him on or something. I don't know.
I'm hoping that they don't do like the boot camp battleground thing where you get like one perspective and then the other perspective of the same event, you know?
I can't imagine, but it's possible, yeah. I feel like they understand that time is short. It is very short. So
Yeah,
let's
I wonder
hope
if maybe
that.
that was part of the constraint too, because like if you know Psi-Force is going to pick up with the Siberian Project and then the invasion starts and then they couldn't like take it that far in the previous Justice issue, like they were kind of like stuck, like we can only get it up to he's ready to go on the mission because that's where we pick up in this one. But yeah, it just also didn't really seem like they, like the character motivation evaporated in the switch between comics. So somebody should have called up and hung out with Peter David a little more when they were writing it.
Yeah, and like you say, Wayne doing narration boxes would have been more cohesive. Justice is, I mean, yeah, it's sort of foreign to the book, so it doesn't really work out as well. He never sort of mopes about Angela or anything
Right.
that you would expect. He doesn't have that sort of sardonic put down style. I don't know. Nukin of the Pits.
Another nuking nor pit. It is draft.
Pookin
Nuking.
Nits.
I don't know. I give it a weak nuking, like a Davy Crockett portable launched nuke. But not like a hydrogen bomb. It was all right. I kind of enjoyed it. It's got some holes. Like there's a lot you could pick apart, but it kind of worked.
It's I don't know. It gets a job done, but it's there's problems. I don't know what I said before was like C plus. I feel like this was better than the last issue, but I don't really want to raise its grade in any
Right.
quantifiable way. So, and a weak nukin for me as well.
Yeah, something in the C range feels right.
So let's see.
Problems. We backing up this backup story?
Shall we dig on into a backup story?
If we
Let me hand it
must.
off.
If we must. It's not the worst backup story. So Dirty Play, Fabian Nicieza, writer of every backup story now, apparently. Hector Collazo pencils, Chris Ivy inker. So Ivy all the way, I guess.
So we had what was it? Passion Play was last time, and something
All
else
right.
before that.
Dirty Play. And the word
Dirty.
dirty looks dirty. Except
Dirty.
it like Passion Play, I don't really get this one either. So this one makes a little more sense as far as the title goes, but
Power Play. Okay,
yeah,
that's
we
not
pick
bad.
up 23rd October, 0800, lousy morning, too cold for October in Georgia. The sky over Fort Benning hasn't been this gritty since that fire 10 years ago. Fire? Now a different kind of fire burns in the sky above us, the fire of panic, the fire of war. All right, foreshadowing, a war we have to be ready for.
Oh, actually, if we're worried about a war, I wonder if like the timing of this is like setting off an incident, an international incident, you know, this
The invasion. Yeah.
attack of Russian paranormals. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I mean that does kind of work. So, but yeah, so this is Sergeant Haldeman narrating. He's like, "I'm here to make sure we're ready for the war that's coming. I'm here to teach a paranormal army how to wage a war between superhumans." Yeah, it's about as fun as it sounds. So Tyrone's up, back up, I guess. Like no longer wobbly. He's looking strong. Got Chris slash metallurgist kind of hovering in the background, and Jeff Walters too. The less fun version of Jeff Walters, but Walters nonetheless. And basically, like in some, one of the in some of the previous work, like they have these random paranormal tournament fights in the yard, essentially, to kind of train themselves. And this time it looks like it's Tyrone v everyone. So Jeff Walters, Bazooka is there, Pitbull is there, Gridlock, Metallurgist, Haldeman's watching, and you know, there's some like clunky car narration. You know, we're here this morning to fine-tune that engine of his. His carburetor problems over the last few months, and you know, the dipstick's a little oily. I don't know. It's just like it's a little much. And then there's like a weird, like mushroom shape on the ground. Like I said, and it's like, he's like, he'll figure out the rules.
I want to say that I think one of the draft characters never had a last name in the book.
Yeah,
I
Garth,
forget which
right?
one it was. Garth. Okay,
I think it's
there.
Garth Mengeling. Going for like
Mingling.
a Mengele kind of name.
What? Okay. But
Still
yeah,
look
they're
kind of generic.
actually, yeah, we've got the everyone's head shaved in Siberia, but these guys are all still in boot camp, so they're also with the close look.
Yeah. So we get Haldeman thinking he'll dope out the rules in a minute. The others have all gone through this before. They're not a greenie like he is. And then they introduce all the characters, and he's like, "Here's the rules." I'm like, I thought he was gonna have to figure that out himself. It's like you stick inside your grid, they stick inside theirs. Maybe they cross over, they're disqualified. You cross over, they get a free shot. I'll assure you, it'll hurt. Stay in your grid, knock them out before they knock you out. And I'm honestly, none of that really makes sense with the action afterwards, other than he kind of tries to not touch the ground anyway. But like Bazooka takes a shot, but Tyrone, now adept at combat, like easily dodges it, and it hits Pitbull. And then I guess we're kind of introduced to Tyrone's new power set because he ends up like launching energy out of his hand instead of projecting himself. And like it, so it blasts through and presumably stuns and not murders and blasts a giant hole in Bazooka. But it's hard to tell.
It can't be any worse than Bazooka's blast itself,
I
so.
guess, but that's pretty painful, I imagine. But it kind of like zips around and seems like he can kind of control it. So it launches out and then comes back and then back into his body. And then like Pitbull is looming over him with like a smoking blast in his chest. And let's see what I can do to change that. And it's like, you know, so he's like, it's hurting less and less every time I do this. Pitbull's like, we'll see what we can do about that. But yeah, Tyrone is doing like his Boyd impression, I guess. Like he's just super competent now. So he like jumps into Pitbull's arms and zaps him. So I guess he can do that now too. And then he's like jumping from person to person to not touch the ground. So he jumps at Garth, Gridlock, who throws up his grid to lock him in place.
Wow.
Gridlock doesn't ever seem too impressive, but he stops him for a minute. He's like, "Ah, real good. Haven't formed a grid this fast before, have you?" It's like, "You barely even know this guy." He's like, "Guess I'm trapped." He's like, "Your powers are psionic, aren't they?" It's like, again, how do you know all this stuff? So he like grabs one of the grids and uses it to zap Gridlock, like, but through his mind. So he just kind of like stiffens up and crumples over. So yeah, we're back to Super Tyrone, I guess. So yeah, he gets kind of smacked out of the air by Jeff Walters. You know, if you remember back to early DP7 when like he would go super speed and like knock the gun out of someone's hands and like their fingers ripped off because like the physics was kind of realistic and like he's really dangerous, but now he just kind of like lightly bumps him. Oh well. But even super fast Jeff's really no match, so he's kind of like running away. I guess he didn't stick to his grid. But he gets zapped through the chest by the projection of power from Tyrone 2, and Tyrone's like, "This is too easy, guys. Hey, Sarge, your clowns are a joke. How about some real competition to keep this fight close?" And then you get swoosh by his head, and yeah, so I get they follow convention and all took turns to fighting him, and Metalurge just basically just like buzzes him on his flying thing. Then eventually he's like, "All right, Jessup, let's see you nail me." And he flies by him once or twice and basically just grabs the hubcap out from under him as he's buzzing by him for no particularly good reason. So again, Super Tyrone here, I guess. And yeah, so he's grabbed the hubcaps and like, "What do you know? Big surprise. Here you go, Sarge. Stick this in the let's hope we don't go to war file." Haldeman's like, "I had my men go easy on him. I guess that was a mistake." And Tyrone responds with, "You may have made me part of your circus, Haldeman, but you won't make me part of your team. I had a no trade contract with another club." See, he likes the sports. "So unless their franchise folded, you're out a star player." Okay. It's like clearly hasn't given him the Welch schmerz yet. But he's just kind of, Haldeman's just kind of smirking. "We'll see about that, Private. We'll see." And that's it. Super Tyrone. New powers, I guess.
Okay. So yeah, I
There's
don't
no
know.
embarrassing art in this one.
It does the job as well.
Yeah.
I actually, yeah, would have. Well, it is definably different than from the main story, but it's not a huge improvement.
Maybe the necks on that first, very first panel are a little weird, but yeah, compared to some of the goofy stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's, I don't know. The so we've had at least three with Tyrone. And you added up probably the page count. You can imagine this could have just been a whole extra issue of Tyrone sort of recovering and going through a new
Right.
camp on his own. Well, this probably would have been more tiresome, I guess, but
I think it would have, yeah. Yeah, ultimately our backups have kind of turned into like a like quick catch up with people without much of a follow through or point. Like
Yeah,
some
we
of the
can.
early ones are like, "Oh, okay, well this is what happened to the Spitfire armor," and then it, you know, they give it to Jake Travis kind of thing, right? And even maybe the last one, even though it was really poorly done, like that's setting up Medusa Webb has max armor capability kind of thing, but
Yeah, it's I like when they kind of. Yeah, the idea of it is always better than what you actually get. I don't know. The
yeah.
let's see what you these individual Medusa Web characters are like, and then you just get Potiphar killing people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me kickers or give me death at this point.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see. Anything else in this issue? We've got house ads.
Silver Surfer, written by Stan Lee, after at a point where probably no one really wants to read Stan Lee anymore.
I remember this as being like very Mobius feeling. It's well, it's already like the like reprint version because
Okay.
I think the Stanley Mobius Silver Surfer came out on like normal newsprint paper. If you're like You want to use that like European coloring, coloring was very advanced at the time. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I get that on Mando.
Exactly. Mando at least. Minimum Mando.
Minamando.
Yeah, we got find the hatemonger. What are you looking at me for? Wait a second.
Well, just
Yeah,
YouTube is probably not too hard.
Marvel Universe poster of the time. And I don't know. Not too much. The back cover has a great jacket, sort of a satin.
Yeah, like a satin jacket, Marvel Comics, Spider-Man on the back. Spider-Man's wearing it. 75 bucks. That was
For
probably a
that.
lot. That was a lot then. Almost
Yeah.
reasonable now.
Yeah, I don't know. We should Google up and see if there's any of those on eBay or anything. I don't
Yeah.
know. Wearing a jacket with yourself on it, I don't know. But
If anyone can pull it off, Spider-Man can, as he hops in his spider car.
let's see. Listen,
It up.
let's wrap it.
Yeah. We'll do some official timeline next time, but yeah, for now that's it. And next time we'll check in on our displaced paranormal buddies plus a cast of thousands, DP 7 million.
Looking forward to this because it's a sidestep from our big crossover this month. DP729, an assassin stalks the DP7 team. Who hired him and why have the DP7 members been marked for death? The answers give a frightening new twist to the war raging in the new
Oh.
universe. What? Deadweight is written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Danny Bulinotti, 32 pages, et cetera, et cetera.
Dang, I'm gonna have to go read this right after. In the meantime, kickersinc.com, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
Who is only supposed to make a buzzing noise? All we got.
Whoops.
Bumble.